grace, mercy, and peace are yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, my brothers and sisters, amen. The lost are now found. That is our theme for today. And if you're anything like me, you might be wondering how that can be our theme for today, and we haven't even mentioned the parable of the prodigal son yet. After all, the very last words of that parable are, "He was lost and is now found." Loud. Well, that gospel was the gospel for our consideration a couple weeks ago. So instead of the parable of the prodigal son, we get to focus on one of the minor prophets, a man named Hosea. A man who had one of the most unique ministries in all of Scripture. A man whose mission it was to show the Israelites that God finds the lost and loves the lost. The book of Hosea is one of the most picturesque in all of Scripture. The basis of Hosea's entire message was the very life of Hosea himself. In chapter 1, God commands Hosea to go seek out a promiscuous woman to marry her and to have children with her. Oh my goodness. That is not a very appealing call to ministry. Tell you what, if when May rolls around to graduate and my official call document says go seek out a promiscuous woman and marry her and have children with her, you can bet that I am quickly going to go find another job. But the prophet Hosea obeyed the Lord's command. He found a woman named Gomer, and he married her, and he had three children. God then gives Hosea the names that he is to name these children, because through these names, God is going to declare judgment on Israel. Hosea's first child, a son, was named Jezreel, because the Lord said that he was going to punish the king of Israel for sins that he committed in a place called Jezreel. Hosea's second child, a daughter, was named Lo Ruhamah, which means not loved. Ouch. Can you imagine naming one of your children not loved? I cannot think of a worse name than that. And yet, Hosea did it. Because through that name, the Lord was declaring to Israel that because they had not been faithful to him, because they had chased after other gods, they were no longer loved by the true God. Hosea's third child, another son, was named Lo Ami, which means not my people. And through this name, God effectively was giving the people of Israel their certificate of divorce, saying, "You are no longer my people, and I am no longer your God." This harsh judgment of Israel continues throughout most of chapter 2 as Hosea describes how Israel, like an unfaithful wife, chased after other gods and would not acknowledge the true God as Lord. Yet, despite all this, despite their unfaithfulness, God still said to Israel, "I will show my love to the one I called not loved. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. God showed more patience than the people of Israel ever deserved. He showed them grace. Grace means to show love to someone who doesn't deserve to be loved. In two words, grace is undeserved love. And grace is exactly what God commanded Hosea to show to his unfaithful wife. This might not come as a surprise, but that promiscuous Hosea sought out to marry was still. As we read for today, we find out that she had been unfaithful to Hosea. She had chased after other men, and now she didn't even live with Hosea anymore. And yet God says that he is to go by her back and to love her. He says that Hosea must love her as the Lord loved the Israelites. Hosea must show Gomer grace. As we consider this account from Hosea today, during this Welcome Home series, we might very naturally think of members of our Savior who haven't been with us for weeks or months or maybe even years. People who have lost their relationship with God. Our goal last week as we kicked off this Welcome Home series was to have 100% attendance. We didn't hit it. So many people have lost their relationship with God. Those people who haven't been here in months or years, our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are lost. And maybe until recently that was you. Maybe you had been gone for an extended period. So, praise God that you are with us again, that you have been found and are once again praising our God with us. But many members, like Hosea's wife Gomer, like God's people, Israel, are lost. They don't give their time to God. They give their lives to another. What is it about this world that so attracts them, that so pulls their eyes away from their Lord and Savior? Better than this sanctuary? Is the Sunday morning news more uplifting than the good news? Is that breakfast at Denny's more satisfying than the supper we get to have at the Lord's table? Our brothers and sisters who have despised the Lord by forsaking hearing his word and praising his name are, in the words of Isaiah, or Hosea, prostituting themselves with this world. There is a story about two pastors, and maybe you've heard this one before. There's an elder pastor and a younger pastor who work together at the same church, and they're walking through their small town talking about the news of the day. When they walk by a bar, suddenly a man stumbles out the front door, falls on the ground, passed out, drunk. The young exclaims to the elder, "Should be spending his time in our church rather than at the bar." The elder pastor looked at the younger, pointed at that poor man on the sidewalk, and said, "There, but by the grace of God, go I." The elder pastor recognized that the sinful nature that led that man to be lost in his sin on the ground was the same sinful nature that waged war in his heart every day. My brothers and sisters, don't be so conceited to think that our brothers and sisters who aren't here are any different from you or me. For you and I are always only one step away from falling and deserting our God, destroying our relationship with Him. In fact, you and I, in the words of Hosea, also prostitute ourselves with this world every day. Being lost doesn't simply mean that you haven't been to church in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Every single time we sin, we make that sin an idol in our hearts and destroy our relationship with our God and become just like Gomer, just like Israel, lost. You know, it's amazing that Hosea would choose Gomer, even though he knew that she would be unfaithful to him. It's even more amazing that God would choose Israel, even though he knew. God knew that they would be unfaithful to him. And it's just as amazing that God would choose you and me when he knew. He knew that you and I would be unfaithful to him every single day of our lives. Every time we sin, we make that sin an idol in our hearts. And our God, a jealous God, a God who punishes sin to the third and the fourth generation. And even when we think that we are leading God-pleasing lives, so often we still don't put God first in our hearts. Who of us hasn't, like the Israelites, come to our God in outward displays of worship, when inwardly our hearts were far from him? For example, I'm sure most of us, all of us, are guilty of saying the words of prayer so mechanically on autopilot, saying the words but really thinking about where we're going to lunch after church or when the Packer game starts later. Or who of us hasn't, while we're singing a hymn, focused more on the notes or how good we sound and not realizing how good our God is? God says later in Hosea, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Yet so often we only give lip service to our God when our hearts are far from him. God ought to send us away with our certificate of divorce in shame for our unfaithfulness to him. Yet, when we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. You know, when God told Hosea to buy Gomer back and to love her, it probably took Hosea a deep breath and a hard swallow to actually go out and do it. But it wasn't hard at all for God to find you and to bring you back into a relationship with him and love you more than you could possibly imagine. It pleases God to save sinners. It pleases God to be faithful to the unfaithful. It pleases God to find the lost. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were busy prostituted with our loves of this world, Christ was busy sacrificing life for you. He bought you back with his blood to make you holy, to make you his bride. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Because of what Christ has done for you, this is what you are. No longer are you lost, you are found. No longer are you unloved, lo ruhama, you are loved. Christ and Christ loves you. Because of Christ and through faith in him, you are holy. You are washed. You are radiant, clothed in the perfect life, that righteousness of Christ. And Jesus will always hold you forever in his grip. Remember that story about the two pastors? The elder looked at the man on the sidewalk and wisely said, "There but by the grace of God go I." Not only was he recognizing his own sinful nature, but he also recognized the amazing grace of God that saved him and continued to hold him. And it's that same amazing grace of God that pulled us out of that dark, murky swamp of our sin. And it's that same amazing grace of God that makes us to shine like the sun and holds us in the palm of his hand. The story of Hosea illustrates more wonderfully than almost anything the extraordinary grace of God as he continues to seek out, find, and love lost people, people who have turned their back on God, people like you and me. The more and more that we recognize this wonderful grace of our God, the more and more we come back here to God's house, to our home, to sing his praises for all that he has done for us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Welcome home. Amen.